What we did wasn't sex, regardless of what it appeared to be. You can't have sex with a thunderstorm, an earthquake, a furious winter gale. You can't make love to a mountain, a lake of ice, a freezing wind. For a few moments, I saw the breadth and depth of Mab's power, and for a fleeting instant, the barest, tiniest glimpse of her purpose as well, as our entwined bodies thrashed toward completion. I was screaming. I had been for a while. Then Mab's cry joined mine, our voices blending together. Her nails dug into my chest, chips of ice sliding beneath my skin. I saw her body drawn into an arch of pleasure, and then her green cat eyes opened and bored into... Her mouth opened, and her voice hissed. Mine! Absolute truth made my body vibrate like the plucked string of a guitar, and I jerked into a brief, violent contortion. Mab's hands slid down my ribs, and I could suddenly feel the fire of the cracked bones again, until those icy hands tightened as again she said, Mine! Again, my body bowed into a violent bow, every muscle trying to tear its way off of my bones. Mab hissed in eagerness as her hands slid around my waist, covering the numb spot where my spine had probably been broken. I felt myself screaming and struggling with no control whatsoever over my body. Mab's feline eyes captured my own gaze, trapping my attention within their frozen beauty, as again a jolt of terrible, sweet cold flowed out from her fingertips, and she whispered, her voice a velvet caress, Mine.
Again!
Screamed a voice I vaguely recognized. Something cold and metallic pressed to my chest.
Clear!
Shouted the voice. A lightning bolt hit my chest, an agonizing ribbon of silver power that bent my body into a bow. I started screaming, and before my hips had come down, I shouted,
Hexus!
Spewing out power into the air. Someone screamed, and someone else cursed, and sparks exploded all around me, including from the light bulb above, which seemed to overload and shatter into powder. The room was dark and quiet for a few seconds. Did we lose him? Asked a steady, elderly man's voice, Forthill.
Oh, God,
said Molly's quavering voice.
Harry?
I'm fine, I said. My throat felt raw. What the hell are you doing to me?
Your heart stopped,
said a third voice, the familiar one. I felt my chest and found nothing there or around my neck. My fingers quested out and touched the bed and the backboard beneath me and found my necklace there, the ruby still fixed in place by an ugly glob of rubber. I gripped the chain and slipped a little of my will into it, and cold blue light filled the room.
So I did what any good mortician would, Butters continued. Hit you with a bolt of lightning and tried to reanimate you.
He held up two shock paddles whose wires had evidently been melted right off them. They weren't attached to anything now. He was a wiry little guy in hospital scrubs with a shock of black hair, narrow shoulders, and a thin, restless body. He held up his hands and mimed employing the shock paddles. Then he said, in a goofy voice that was probably meant to sound hollow,
It's alive! Alive!
After a beat, he added,
You're welcome.
Butters, I sighed. Who called you into... I stopped and said, Molly... Never mind. Harry, she said, we couldn't be sure how badly you were hurt, and if you couldn't feel, you couldn't know either. And I thought we needed a real doctor, but the only one I knew you trusted was Butters, so I got him instead.
Hey,
Butters said. I pushed the straps off of my head and kicked irritably at the straps on my legs.
Whoa there, Tiger, Butters said.
The little medical examiner threw himself across my legs.
Hold your horses, big guy. Easy, easy.
Forthill and Molly meant well. They joined in, and the three of them flattened me to the backboard again. I snarled out a curse and then went limp. I sat there not resisting for a moment until I thought they'd be listening. Then I said,
We don't have time for this. Get these straps off of me. Dresden, you might have a broken back, Butters said. A pinched nerve, broken bones, damage to the organs in your lower abdomen. For God's sake, man, what were you thinking not going to a hospital?
I was thinking that I didn't want to make an easy target of myself, I said. I'm fine. I'm better.
Good Lord, man, sputtered Forthill. Be reasonable. Your heart wasn't beating 3 minutes ago.
Molly, I said, my voice hard, unfasten the straps. Do it now. I heard her sniffle, but then she sat up and came up to where she could see my eyes.
Harry, are you still, you know, you?
I blinked at her for a second, impressed. The grasshopper's insight was evidently serving her well. I'm me, I said, looking back at her eyes. That should be verification enough. If someone else had come back behind the wheel of my car, so much change to my insides and a look like that would certainly trigger a soul gaze and reveal what had happened. For now, at least. Molly bit her lip. Then she said,
Okay. Okay, let him up.
Butters sat up from my legs and then stood, scowling.
Wait a minute. This is all moving a little too fast for me.
The door behind him opened, and a heavy-looking man in street clothes lifted a gun and put 2 rounds into Butters' back from 3 feet away. The sheer sound of the shots was incredible, deafening. Butters dropped like a slaughtered cow. The gunman's eyes were tracking toward the rest of us before Butters hit the floor. I knew who he was looking for when his eyes swept over me and locked on. He didn't talk, didn't bluster, didn't hesitate. A professional. There were plenty of them in Chicago. He raised the gun to aim at my head while I lay there, strapped to a board from the hips down and unable to move. And as I lifted my left wrist, I noted that my shield bracelet was gone. Of course. They must have removed it so that the defibrillator's charge wouldn't have gotten any ideas, just as they'd taken the metal necklace from around my throat and the rings from my fingers. They were being terminally helpful. Clearly, this was just not my day.